He's on fire. All right, welcome back. This is the Saturday Show on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Corey, thank you for lightening the mood, honestly.
I was going to say, and that's kind of, it's really funny because when everything went down with the Stallions and the AAF, I didn't cry. I did not cry immediately the way that I did when the news of this came down.
Sure.
I think it's a little bit different when you're like in the moment.
Well, when
like,
when you're in it.
When you're in it, yeah. It's literal survival mode. It's like, okay, what needs to be done? And I mean, a little bit of a different situation, right? But we had like people that were just displaced. Like they weren't even from here. They didn't live here. And but it's like I was running around cracking jokes, yeah. Even though I was like, "Oh God!" Like none of us have a job.
You're trying to line the move.
Yeah. Get people through it. Get people back home. Whatever. It was probably 3 days later, I think, that I actually finally like broke down and cried, and it was actually after because I was taking a bunch of like our guys to the airport, giving them rides and stuff, yeah. And it was when I dropped BJ off. And went home. I was like, because he was kind of the last one here. And I was like, wow, this is really over.
And I can understand that because you're in shock in a way.
Yeah.
And this one, Kate, and it's nothing. This one, I can understand why you were emotional about it because you've been through it and you're thinking of the other people. And it's much easier to have empathy when you're not in that survival shock mode. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh geez.
Yeah. Giddy up. What needs to be done? What do we got to do? How do we get others through this?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you've got empathy for what's going on right now. So we've been talking. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking all about what happened yesterday. That's what this show is about today. Is what's going on. Now I need to answer this question. Mama Haas, a longtime listener of the station, legendary, big BYU fan, gigantic. Lisa is legendary on our airwaves for coming on and loving to rip into Utah. And I'm sure she's going to call in at some point this coming week on DJ and PK because she's got this unique relationship with the two of them. She sent me this just barely. And I think I can help clarify this a little bit because there's been a lot of confusion on this. I actually asked the question myself on social media and started digging into it last night.
Yeah, yeah, it is confusing.
Okay, so she said, speaking of the Utah football program or football athletic department, Utes get a full share in the Big 12 and BYU gets half. Is that right? It's not right because in 2025, the reported $31.7 million payouts, the full share memberships, full share payouts, like I said, for member schools kicks in 2025. The 2 years that BYU is in the conference here, they're getting partial shares. They're reported to be between $18 and $19 million. It's actually not that far off of what the Big 12 current media rights deal pays out. Currently, the media rights still pays $220 million annually. In 2025, it's going to $380. So Utah, in 2024-2025, the year that they will be in the conference that the new deal is not in effect, Michelle, they will make $22 million in media rights. That's besides bowl payouts, NCAA tournament shares. They announced the record. It was 44 and change million for the Big 12 last year. It was a record per school distribution. The $22 million is what you'll make in media rights for Utah that first year. Then, 2025 and beyond, all 16 members, all $31.7 million starting that year, and it's going up from there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that can clear up some of the confusion. It won't, but I'd try.
I know, right? Yeah, we put our best foot forward on this one. And actually, you kind of helped clear it because people have asked me, and I'm like, I don't know.
The current media rights, it's $220 million annually. And the way that the contracts have been written is that these new schools, the four newcomers, speaking of Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado, they're coming in as full share members. They're going to get the $22 million media rights. At least I could be wrong on that, but everything I've read is if the contracts are written that way, that's what that payout is for the 1 year. And then BYU, all other 15 members, all in 2025 together get $31.7 million in media rights. And that's besides, like I said, bowl payouts, the NCAA tournament stuff.
All the extra stuff that gets sprinkled in if you do your job well.
And keep an eye on the media rights, the data rights.
Right. That's becoming a thing, people.
That's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother opportunity to add more cash to the pot. Keep an eye on when the announcement, if and when that announcement comes. They said at Big 12 Media Days they were working on that. I wonder if the new additions change the calculus of that and when it ultimately gets announced. But that's a whole nother revenue stream that could be coming down the pipe. So, all right. Need to get that question answered. So, well, there we go. All right. So, Michelle, now, I've been kind of reading through some of these responses. I want to get to a couple more of them. So I asked this yesterday. I asked Utah fans, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of get that pulse for how Utah fans are feeling about things. And I appreciate you retweeting it. I know that our station retweeted it and got some good responses here. So here's the thing. Next one. We come in Big 12, NSL underscore Ute, North Salt Lake Ute, I believe is what it stands for. It says, best scenario given the options. It's going to be a good time. Okay. Well, and I think we've come to that conclusion. Based on what the room was doing and the chessboard, how it was moving, it's what you had to do.
Yep.
Tom Wimmer at Snoop Butt. That's a great Twitter hit. It'll be a fun conference. More national exposure. You travel across the conference. Maybe that will help in recruiting. Well, Utah's been recruiting at a pretty high level already. But
yeah.
Our basketball team is in big trouble. I think there's a lot of basketball teams, including BYU's, that are in big trouble. Because.
Yeah, woof.
Yeah. But he says this, but we'll be fine elsewhere. Is there equal pay for bowl games, or do successful teams get more of the money? Now, the way I understand that, the new contract and the current contract, it goes into one pot and it's distributed evenly. I know that the Pac-12 was talking about this. You can probably correct me. They were talking about unequal revenue distribution, especially on the bowl side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. It was, to my understanding, my knowledge, it was going to be on the bowl side of things.
Okay.
Which, if you're going to do unequal revenue sharing, I think that's where it should come in, right?
Yeah. You reward for playing well.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe you skim like a little off the top and throw it in a pot and distribute it. Because, to be honest, in order to get to, you know, some of these more prestigious elements of college football, college basketball, you need the rest of the conference to be good. And so, you know, when you elevate, especially like last year with the Pac-12, where they had six teams finish in the top 25, you know, part of that's a result of everyone else that didn't make that top 25 cut was viewed as being a good team too.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be like a little reward, I think, for that. But for the most part, I think that kind of stuff should go to whoever earned it.
Well, and that may come down the road. Who knows? Because the current Big 12 contract, it's going to go through 2031. They're going to go back to market. And we'll see what happens at that point. There's been a lot of talk. Jason Shear out there saying that the Big 12 may push for two more basketball-only members. That would be Gonzaga and UConn. Brett Yormark, he loves himself some college hoop.
And, I'm glad someone does. and
there's very strong indications that if he pulls that off, even if he doesn't pull it off, that when the next media rights round comes for the Big 12, Michelle, that he may decouple football from basketball and pursue separate deals for those two sports. The Big 12 is going to be the preeminent basketball conference.
Oh, there's no question about that.
So that's kind of his thought. I've got one other comment I want to talk about here, and it's kind of a launching off point for what I wanted to talk about in this segment, Michelle.
Okay.
It comes from Paul Hallbaum, I think is how you pronounce this. It's H-A-L-L-B-O-M.
Safe guess.
All right, so he says, we, speaking of Utah, lived in a nice home with no backyard neighbors. The city rezoned to build a Walmart on the vacant lot. We reluctantly moved, only to discover the new home had a very angry kitty next door. Come to find out, this hood will be destroyed in a few years as well, so meh.
We've kind of touched on that a little bit.
So that's where I kind of want to go. It's like, come to find out, this hood, will be, speaking of neighborhood, will be destroyed in a few years as well. So, man, that's what I want to do. Michelle, looking ahead here, and hold none of this against us, because 13 months ago when Corey moved here, who could have guessed that the University of Utah and BYU, after 13 years being estranged,
doing their own thing,
are back together in the same conference?
Yeah.
I would have put big money that was not going to happen for a while.
Oh, yeah.
If ever.
I mean, really, up until maybe the last month, I would have thought you were absolutely insane. But
it's a reality
now. It's the reality now.
So now as you look forward here, because to what Paul says here, and we've already talked about this, is that Utah made pitches to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And also to your other point, and I completely agree with it, if you're any of these schools, and I mean any of them, BYU, Utah, on down the list in the Big 12, you've got to be constantly monitoring the situation moving forward here. Because if it sure looks like this, if a TV network, ESPN, Fox, whoever it is, if they want to pull something apart, they have now proven that they can do that. I'm actually wondering how long before they pull the ACC apart.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all know that
eyes peeled.
ESPN has the rights, for by and large, with the ACC right now. But you can guarantee Fox is sitting there saying, all right, what do we got to do here?
Like, yeah.
Can we hone our way in?
How do we manipulate this situation to get what we want?
So where do you think things are going, Michelle? Big open-ended question.
I know. Crazy. And again, opinion has completely and totally changed, but I think we are barreling towards some kind of NFL-ish model. And if the moves that have just barely been made hadn't been made, I would have maybe been a little bit skeptical. Because okay. I just really think USC, UCLA really overestimating their ability to be able to handle that travel for five or six years. I mean, now they have some people to kind of cushion that blow a little bit.
Sure.
I would have bet that things maybe would have kind of sort of ended up going back the way that people would have gone back a little more care perhaps taken in trying to build branches and pods in order to take care of everybody if we really were going to do this P2 thing. Now it's just the wild, wild west, and we are barreling towards this thing. And at some point, I think it collapses. I just do. I think it's going to get too big. I don't think it's going to get managed very well. And I think part of it's because we are barreling toward it very, very fast. And I think these things take time and they take planning if you're going to try and do something like that. As I've said, this is such a complex story. There are so many things going on. I've talked about a lot of things that, you know, I think I know. And then something comes up that I was not anticipating, that I did not see. And I have to say, I think there's things floating around that we're not discussing. And part of it's that I don't think we even know that they exist in the moment, to be honest. And they could come up to the forefront and completely change my opinion again. But for the here and now, I think the P2 is exactly what we're barreling towards.
Well, and I feel like, to your point, yesterday points towards that. Because I'm of the opinion, had in some ways sanity prevailed with the Pac-12, with these university presidents, had they decided, you know what, we really want to go to a national model, do we want to stay regional?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. We're pushing towards national versus staying regional, because that's exactly what happened. The funny thing about this is, and this is the East Coast bias at its finest, I'm seeing Big Ten fans saying, I can't wait to make a road trip to Oregon and UCLA in the same weekend or what. I'm like, do you realize they're 1,100 miles apart?
Yeah. I hope you're planning on taking some time off.
There is this perception on the East Coast that everything out in the West is so smashed together like it is on the East Coast.
It's not. We're spread out. We got room, homies. There's a lot of open land.
There are wide open spaces, to quote the country song out there. And they exist in all over. So I'm not sure that the Big Ten fans at large, in the traditional Big Ten. Yeah, exactly. You're right. It feels like we're moving towards that. Now, the thought I've got on this is, yes, I'm with you that I think we're pushing towards a truly national model, which frankly sucks.
Yeah, because I don't love it.
The college environments are unique. They're regional. They exist in their own spheres. The NFL is so, I don't know.
I will tell you this. I've traveled to a couple of NFL games. I like watching NFL on TV. I don't know that I love being at the games quite as much. The only place I have ever been that has that like magical kind of college feel, Green Bay.
Well, and Green Bay is the smallest market in the NFL.
There's reasons why it feels that way.
And if the NFL was being formed today, there's not a chance in hell that Green Bay ends up with an NFL franchise.
Oh, God, no.
So
no.
I'm just saying. Like
Green Bay is very unique in that way.
And that's what a lot of college towns are. And but as you push towards a national model, it's going to, I guess, in a way sanitize what college football has been. It's always been unique and distinct from the NFL, which has been it's a professional model. There are, like, Philadelphia Eagles fans are legendary.
Right.
Kansas City Chiefs fans are legendary. San Francisco 49ers fans, Oakland Raiders fans, like, there are
Bills Mafia.
Yes. There are.
Thank you.
Yes, but there's unique aspects, but by and large, the NFL is so sanitized and it's so cut and dry business oriented that college has a lot more emotion to it.
Mm-hmm. And pageantry.
Pageantry, yes. The pregame, the flyovers, the marching bands.
The cute little bubbly cheerleaders
The song leaders, like, trust me, like that stuff doesn't exist in the NFL.
No.
That's what college, and I'm afraid we're at risk of losing that. And I say we as a general populace.
Yes.
We're at risk of losing all of that if you push towards this is all about the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to cast a lot of stuff off to the wayside. And it kind of goes back to what you talked about earlier, Michelle, is there's a personal aspect to all of this that is being lost in the business side of it. The bottom line on that sheet. Okay, are we making net profit? Okay, we're off we go. This is stuff being decided in a business boardroom. That if any of them were to step out of that boardroom and go and see the environments that they're affecting, it may have changed their opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's crazy. So yesterday I have this girl that I mentor a little bit. She is actually about to start her first semester at BYU. Go figure that. The Utah beat writers mentoring this.
Hey.
This little gal that's about to start her college career at BYU, loves BYU, loves BYU athletics, grew up with it. Awesome, amazing.
Sure.
But, like, one of the questions she was asking me was, like, how do you go about building a brand and like, being true to yourself? And it's really hard to do in this business because, again, there is a level of sterilization. And as a media member, and especially as a female media member, there are sometimes expectations that, like, you're very, like, unapproachable. Like, there is just this line of...
A wall,
okay. Almost. And that is just so not who I am. And, I mean, like, there, like literally, there's been instances, and it's so sweet and it's so cute... you know, with some of these players that, you know, guys that, like, don't normally get interviewed, and I find something out cool about them, want to interview them, want to do a story, and afterwards they'll, like, scoop me up in a big hug, and especially early on, it's like, oh my God, like
a little bit of a shock,
like. It's like, oh my God, I hope no one thinks anything's going on here because this is supposed to be so cut and dry and sterilized and no emotions. And now it's like, you know, for me, it's cool, whatever. Like, you know what? Because this business is getting just yucky. So it's like, you know what? Like, we're going to roll like that. We're going to go with that. That's how people interact with me. And I'm cool with that. And I think other people are picking up on it, and so it's been a cool thing. But I don't know. I don't like cut and dry business. Like, yes, handle your business, but, like, you can also be human too. And it's honestly, like, it shocks me how much it gets appreciated. Like, I've had players, like, DM me, hey, like, thanks for being nice to me, which I should not be getting those kinds of DMs. Like, that should just be, like, a standard practice across the board, and it's not.
Well, it should be is the operative word there. It should be. But too often anymore, it's become transactional.
Mm-hmm.
That you are providing a service. I'm speaking for a student athlete. Yeah. You are here providing a service to this university. And once you're done, and it sounds really, really callous, but they're cast aside.
It can be. And I think, to be honest, that's what makes Utah so special. That's what makes BYU so special. There is a little bit of this, hey, like, we appreciate what you did for
us. You're part of the family.
You're part of the family. Yeah. Come back anytime, and mm-hmm. you're going to be welcomed with open arms. We love your input. We love, you know, we want you to be involved in this thing.
And that, and trust me, I do appreciate that about Utah and BYU in particular, because the coaches themselves, I'm speaking of Kyle Whittingham and Kalani Sitake, they have really engendered that into their program. Like, there is a familial aspect to it. You come back, you're loved up the same as you were when you were suiting up for that team. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you made it to the NFL or if you were a bottom of the bench scrub.
Like, yeah.
You were part of this, and you are part of it still. And that I can appreciate. I'm afraid that
we're losing that.
And it may become that BYU and Utah are the outliers in all of this.
Well, I mean, to be honest, they've kind of been outliers for a while, because I talked to, you know, and I think that was kind of part of the Stallions as well, is like, we had a very strong core of Utah and BYU players. Duh.
Shocking.
News break. But then we had a bunch of other kind of rando guys that got thrown into the mix of that. And I think they were seeing how tight those players were with each other.
Bond, yeah.
And sometimes, like, I mean, there were some pretty big age gaps between some of those Utah players. You know, we had a Matt Asiata that had been in the NFL, graduated forever, dealing with Aleka Uatafe, who had just kind of barely graduated college.
Sure.
And, I mean, it didn't matter, though. You're Utah, like, then we're brothers. We're cool with each other.
The hashtag boys thing exists for a reason.
It's real.
Yeah.
And so there's these other guys that came from other places that are like, what the heck is this? Like, we don't know other alums.
Sure.
And then even, and it's kind of a weird thing, too, when you look at, like, the rivalry, like, there's kind of this weird underlying hatred, but a lot of them, outside of that, they're friends with each other.
Sure.
Like, so there's even a little bit of a brotherhood, cross brotherhood there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the 90s guys. I don't know. That group don't seem to like each other very much. But, like, kind of before and after that, there seems to be some coolness there.
Well, I can tell you that there are. The funny thing about this, and I'll also say this, BYU and Utah are more linked to the player level than almost any other level.
Oh.
Administration, fan, coach. Like, the players, these guys grew up playing against each other in high school. They hung out together. They still hang out together to this day.
Yeah.
They're not these mortal enemies.
No.
That's not, so, yeah, it's going to be an interesting path ahead. And I'm hopeful that it reverts back in a way. But it's sad that yesterday happened, because it feels like it's a push towards what we didn't want to happen.
Yeah.
All right, we will come back on the other side. We've got an interview. We're going to talk Ultimate Disc. Now, I get that it may not register, but we have a really, really good team in our backyard. We're going to talk about that next. It's also, that's a great question, Corey. What conference are they in? I think they play in, it's called it's an American Ultimate Disc League. I think it's ADL. I think it's AUDL or something like that. Anyways, we'll get more information on that. It's 5 minutes of talking about some other topics. There's other sports that are happening outside of what's happening in college sports. We'll get to that next. This is 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. California, yeah. Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Michelle Bodkin there, Jake Hatch here, as we break down everything going on in the sports world. It's time for 5 minutes of. We're going to kick off this segment with the Salt Lake Shred. Now, that name doesn't sound familiar. I can understand that. But we've got a really, really good team in our backyard. They compete in the American Ultimate Disc League, if I've got that correct. And Isaac Pritchett joins us. He's one of the co-founders and co-owners of the Salt Lake Shred. Isaac, thank you for taking some time this morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Beautiful day. Thank you, Jake.
So, Isaac, you guys are 11-1, speaking of the Shred, and you guys are in the playoffs now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be hosting the West Divisional Championship game this coming Friday.
Okay, so you're 11-1, and for those of our listeners out there, I think a lot of people have played Ultimate Frisbee growing up in some form or fashion. I played it when I was at BYU. I had a friend that said, hey, we need an extra guy for our intramural team. So I went and played with him. I am far from what you're looking for in terms of what you're looking for the Salt Lake Shred, but it's still sure. A fun sport. Explain what all it entails.
Yeah, probably the best parallel to people not familiar with the sport is it's a little bit of a cross between soccer and football. So the goal is to get the disc into the end zone, kind of like scoring a touchdown in football. But when you catch the disc, you can't run with it. You have to throw it to somebody else who's cutting. So there's a lot of dynamic movement cuts like you would see in soccer trying to, you know, attack different angles of the field.
And so you said that you're hosting this. Where is your home field?
Yeah, our home field is Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman, Utah. It's a beautiful facility out there, awesome view of the mountains, nice big turf field. A lot of people that can fit in the stands, but it's still kind of nice and cozy, which means you can get loud and make some noise, affect the other team.
All right, so you guys got to 11-1. You mentioned you're hosting the West Championship. Just kind of break down how the season's gone for the team. Obviously, it's been highly, highly successful, losing once in the run-up to this.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. We've really been proud of the work that we've put in over the season. Our inaugural season was last year. We went 10-2 and then unfortunately lost to Colorado in the divisional championship game. This year, we've beaten everyone in the West and actually hosted the reigning champions, New York. They are our only loss this season. So we're really proud of the work we've been able to put in and the kind of the dominance we've established in the West so far.
And so who are you playing this week, and tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, we are playing the Los Angeles Aviators. They had a rough season last season, but made some really, really big off-season moves. They picked up Sean McDougal, who currently is leading the whole league in plus-minus, and Paul Giannis, who is the league's actually all-time assist leader. So really, really great kind of handler quarterback player. So they've been really dangerous this year. They started out a little slow. They started out 1-3, but as their chemistry got together with all these new acquisitions, they went on a really hot five-game run and really haven't looked back. So they're kind of peaking at exactly the right time and looking dangerous.
Isaac, I'm looking over like the team names in this league. There's some great names. You mentioned the LA Aviators. You have the Colorado Summit, the Seattle Cascades, the San Diego Growlers. There's some really fun mascot names here.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the naming. I think we got a good league. The New York team, who are really strong, are called the Empire, which is kind of what I think of the Yankees as sometimes.
Okay,
so appropriate naming conventions. Yeah, it's great.
Now, where does your team come from? Are they Utah based guys? Like, what's the makeup of the team?
Yeah, that's a great question. Over the past maybe 10 to 15 years, Utah has been establishing a really strong youth scene, actually. The Lone Peak High School has won the national high school championship the past 2 years, and that's work that people have been putting in at the ground level for a long time. So we are lucky to have a lot of talent out of Utah State, University of Utah, Brigham Young University, and that's where I would say the core of our players come from. But we're also super lucky this year that we've kind of attracted some talent from across the country, actually. We have Elijah Jaime, who played for Atlanta last year and kind of saw our team and wanted to get involved, so now plays with us. And multiple-time world and national champion Grant Lindsley, who used to play for New York, now is coming out and playing for us, which is really fantastic. And we're lucky to have all those guys.
That's awesome. So I said Friday night, they're out there at Zions Bank Stadium. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. It'll be August 11th, starts at 7 p.m., so just kind of as the sun is setting, it'll be a really nice night, lovely weather. It's one of my favorite kind of summer traditions now. I love going to those games.
And where can people get tickets?
Yeah, you can go to saltlakeshred.com to buy tickets. Mm-hmm. I would recommend doing that. You can get tickets at the door, but the prices go up a little bit. So saltlakeshred.com is the place to go for tickets.
Awesome. Well, Isaac, thank you for carving out some time for us this morning, and best of luck. Hopefully you guys can win it on Friday and advance in the playoffs.
Yeah, really appreciate it. We are looking forward to it. We're confident in our chances, and we're excited to play the game.
All right, there you go. Isaac Pritchett, big thank you to him. Salt Lake Shred in action coming up, hosting the LA Aviators. As I'm telling you, Michelle, these names. The West alone had some good ones. DC Breeze, The Philadelphia Phoenix is a unique one, but like, there's,
yeah,
I gotta say, this is not like I talk about in soccer all the time how like a lot of major league soccer teams have kind of followed the European model of naming their teams.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that you just have new things. Minnesota Windchill, that's a great name.
That is a great name. No, it's a little more unique.
Yes.
And again, bringing this full circle, like that was the whole point of the AAF.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, all the names were really unique and cool and different, except for Salt Lakes.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
I still had issues with the Stallions and little things, but nonetheless.
They loved the alliteration, and they didn't put very much thought into our team because I think we were the last ones that they actually were working on, but I digress.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. So there you go. The Salt Lake Shred, if you want to get out and watch it. By the way, that Zions Bank Stadium, it hosts the Utah Warriors, call that home. Obviously, the Real Monarchs, the minor league for Real Salt Lake, that's their home field. It's actually a really, really fun, unique environment. It's got incredible views.
Beautiful. And yeah, I mean, the facilities are bar none,
yep,
except for the indoor facility. Reminds me of the Partridge Family. I sing the Partridge Family every time I pull up there. It was actually a thing that myself and... because that's where the Stallions,
yes,
practiced.
Mm-hmm. I spent many a practice hanging out with y'all over
hanging
there.
Out with us. Yeah. That was what me and Lamar Thomas would, like, we would,
okay,
see, like, and if you're a football fan, you know Lamar Thomas, like my big Miami guy, killer wide receiver back in the 90s. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. All right. A couple other things we need to cover in this segment, Michelle. Real Salt Lake, in action last night. They were down 1-0 at halftime to Club León. Now, they're playing what's called the League's Cup. This is a matchup between both Major League Soccer and Liga MX down in, mm-hmm, Mexico. RSL got pummeled, for lack of a better term, by Monterrey. And I'm not going to lie, I was going into last time, I'm like, okay, Club León, they actually just won the Champions League, the CONCACAF Champions League, beating, mm-hmm, LAFC, who is, by many people, in many people's eyes, the best team in Major League Soccer. But to Real Salt Lake's credit, they came out last night in the second half like men possessed. 17 shots, generating all kinds of looks on goal, scoring 3. There were 2 that went to Danny Musovski, and then obviously Chicho Arango scored the 3rd, and RSL advances now. So they now head to face off against LAFC on Tuesday with a chance to make it to the quarterfinals. If they win at LAFC on Tuesday, which is the round of 16 in this tournament, Michelle, they would return home on Saturday and host quarterfinal action. So we'll see.
Not bad after having a raccoon drop through the ceiling.
Okay. The raccoon part of it is just, I was not there Thursday night because it was just too late at the start. And with my turnaround on radio responsibilities,
yeah,
I wasn't gonna be there. I told my wife as that was unfolding on social media, I'm like, man, I wish I would have gone.
I should have just sucked it up.
Just to that was a hellacious storm that rolled through.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy.
I drove through it because I hosted Unrivaled that afternoon. I was driving home and I could see it like out on the horizon. I'm like, that looks pretty nasty.
Oh.
And as I got closer, I'm like, oh no, it that was insane.
Yeah, the last couple of nights, crazy weather.
Yeah, but that storm alone, that one like severe. I understand why they ended up postponing the game because that weather cell was going to last until 1 a.m. They had every intention also of this, by the way, of playing until 11 p.m. Like they were gonna push it as long. They wanted to get that match in, and they were willing to wait till 11 p.m. to see if that would go through. But it never cleared up on with the weather radar. And they're like, you know what? We're going to postpone it. Fun night all the same last night. Corey, were you out at it last night?
No, it wasn't
okay.
Part of our season ticket package,
okay.
And we didn't buy those.
Yeah, because you are a season ticket holder for Real Salt Lake, and that's the thing about this is it was a really fun thing because, trust me, the first half of RSL last night, they looked completely, it's like, okay, yeah, they're not in the same league as Liga MX here. Second half, they took it right to them and looked, I was like, okay.
You got to love that.
If they play like this, ain't nobody stopping this club.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, can you channel that? Night after, like, I don't know, night after
yeah,
night, but
yeah, yeah.
You got to be able, it's got to be consistent. And going to LAFC is going to be a different deal for them on Tuesday.
Well, and I think they have channeled that for the most part. I mean, in their last 14 games, 10 wins, 3 ties, and 1 loss.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is really good right now.
They've completely changed this season, and that's the thing about this is they started out very, very poor, and to their credit, have completely turned around. Now, the acquisitions in and of itself, they just actually signed a deal to get Brian Ojeda here full-time from Nottingham Forest in the English Premier League. $2 million. That makes their grand total spent so far this year somewhere between $16 and $17 million.
Yeah.
The heaviest investment, by the way, across the league. Nobody in Major League Soccer has spent more money than the Real Salt Lake has spent this season alone. They're putting the money in, and it's paying off right now.
Like, yeah.
That's the fun part about it. Because, trust me, there are other teams out there that spend lots and lots of money, and it just does not go the way that they expect it to.
Texas A&M, totally different sport, totally different league. Yeah. But, yeah, more or less what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how things work the way that they work. One other thing real quick, Michelle, is I know you've been so engrossed in all this. Mm-hmm. Want to say best wishes to Ricky Rubio, a former Utah Jazz guy. This came out this morning. He has announced that this morning that he's putting his career on hold indefinitely to focus on his mental health. Now, Ricky has been in professional basketball since he was 18 years old, and even longer than that, but at the NBA level. He's been around for a really, really long time. He says, I have decided to stop my professional activity to take care of my mental health. I want to thank all the support I have received from the Spanish national team to understand my decision. Today, hashtag family makes more sense than ever. Thank you. I would ask that my privacy be respected so that I can face these moments and be able to give more information when the time is right, unquote. So he was supposed to be part of the Spanish national team in the upcoming World Cup and everything, mm-hmm. and he's a big part. He's 32 years old. It's crazy to think that Rubio is still just 32 years old because I've been tracking him since he was 16.
Jeez.
I remember hearing about this absolutely incredibly gifted passer out of Spain named Ricky Rubio, and he looked every bit the young Spaniard, like, wizard.
Yeah.
But I just want to wish him well, because this is no laughing matter.
No. Mental health stuff is very, very serious, and I'm glad that he's taking care of himself, because I think we've seen far too often in sports where people don't handle whatever's going on, and they pay an ultimate price for it. So I'm glad that he's taking care of it. I'm glad as a society, a sports society, we're getting better at, you know, recognizing, dealing with, taking care of, being open about that. And then obviously as a society as a whole outside of sports as well. It's important.
Yeah. He does have 2 seasons and $12.5 million left on a contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who knows what ultimately transpires on that front, but I want to wish him the best. Obviously, he was a guy who was out here in Utah and was a really, really well-respected guy while he was here. Just consummate professional. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. All right. We will come back on the other side, put a bow on this edition of the Saturday Show. This is 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wishing the well, don't ask me, I'll never tell. I look to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul.
Welcome back to the Saturday Show, Corey, man.
I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my
way. It's been awesome. You like this song, Michelle?
This song.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy.
I remember when this song was so and there was the Star Wars version, and it's so weird how this took off the way that it did, but it always reminds me of when I actually went to my first NFL game at Lambeau Field to watch the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers open up the 2013 NFL season.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to watch Alex Smith, and I got to watch Aaron Rodgers.
Jeez.
Awesome. Awesome. That was my first NFL game.
That's pretty cool, actually. I'm not going to lie. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
It's kind of what music does for people. Because you can name songs. What's my age again for Blink-182? Every time I hear that song, you know what it takes me to immediately? It was my sophomore year in high school at Mountain View High School in Orem, Utah, at an assembly where our student body president recreated that song with him and his buddies making their own music video to it. I will forever remember that. I was 16 years old. I'm 36 now, Michelle.
Right?
It's 20 years in the past, but that song.
Oh, damn. That's
I know.
A totally different set.
Sorry.
I'm like, oh, Wow, junior high was 20 years ago.
It's terrifying. Wow. I know. I think back to stuff like that, and it's just like, oh, wow. Okay. But that's what music can do for people.
Yeah.
It completely, it can transport you literally back in time. To your, so, crazy stuff. But it's been a wild show.
It's been a lot.
We've tried to cover as much ground as possible. I don't think we even scratched the surface.
Oh, not even. And part of it's because I guarantee you there's things that will come up on this topic that we just don't know about at this point in time.
Sure.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what all comes out. It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. I don't know really what else to say. That's the best explanation I can give.
Well, and Kate, to add to that point, is it's kind of hard to really have a, I don't know, and it's hard to have a full appreciation or full understanding of everything that's just transpired mm-hmm. because it's so fresh and new.
Mm-hmm.
Because, trust me, you would have told me 48 hours ago that Utah and BYU were in the Big 12 together. I'm like, okay, I see those rumors, but I just don't see it.
Yeah.
48 hours later, here they are.
Yeah, here we are.
I don't know. It's crazy.
What's old is sometimes new again. Let's go.
Real quick on this.
Yeah.
Do you want that rivalry game back on Thanksgiving weekend, or do you think they should try something new? Like, because the Red River rivalry was always played. It's played right around the Texas State Fair, early October, I believe.
Oh, interesting. I actually did not know that.
I saw some people pushing for, because BYU and Utah State for years have played that Friday before General Conference.
Uh-huh.
They just kind of a trend. I just wonder, do you want it back Thanksgiving weekend with the Holy War?
Do you want me to be totally honest? I'm not terribly excited that this game is back the way that it's going to be. Here's why. Look, okay. It's a great game. It is a great game. Mm-hmm. I wish people would just let it be a great game.
They can't.
Without all the other shenanigans. Yeah. And I personally felt like the space between the two actually made it a little bit healthier. So I'm a little concerned being in such close quarters with each other again.
Oh, come on.
What this is going to look like. I really am. I'm legitimately concerned because I am so team be cool with each other. Like I lean more to the mm-hmm. Utah side of things, but I have zero issues with BYU's football program. Zero. Mm-hmm. Like, zero, zero. I like a lot of people that are involved with that. I don't. Please, let's be somewhat civil. Like, the poking fun at ha-ha-he-he stuff, like, that is all great.
Sure.
When it turns mean, I'm not into it. But to your point, I think it is going to be a Thanksgiving thing again.
I that's why I suspect it'll be, because I'm assuming that the Big 12 will want to create a rivalry weekend mm-hmm. where the Territorial Cup, which has traditionally been played on Thanksgiving weekends, played there. The Battle for the Sunflower. Is it the Battle for the Sunflower State between Kansas, Corey? Is that what they call it? Is that the Kansas-Kansas State rivalry?
Sunflower Showdown.
Yeah. I'm assuming some of those will be set up, and the Holy War between BYU and Utah gets set there.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Any final thoughts from you?
No. I'm a blank slate at the moment. Now, I'm looking forward to enjoying my weekend. You're not going to hear too much from me. and I got that approved because I was not supposed to be on yesterday, and I was on. But actually, I'm going to be meeting up with a friend that's in town.
Good.
So,
all right. Well, enjoy that.
Yeah.
And we will reconvene next week and try and make heads or tails of whatever's going on. By the way, Corey, want to say publicly, we're going to miss you, dude.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
Buddy.
Corey's leaving us. He's not going too far. He's still living here.
I'm still staying in Salt Lake.
You're doing podcasting.
I'm joining a podcasting network back in Kansas City,
do you have a name for it, by the way, so people can find it if they want?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. We're working on the names.
To be determined.
Yeah.
Okay. When you have it, send it to me, and we'll give you a shout.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Well, like I said, I just wanted to publicly thank you for everything you did for us. All right. That's it.
Finito. It's done.
It's been a wild show. All right. Stay tuned all week long here on The Zone. We got plenty of coverage to come on the other shows throughout the days, Monday through Friday. And obviously, we'll be back here next Saturday, right here on the Saturday show on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.